Good morning, everyone. I was really grateful this morning that we sang the song, Will You Let Me Be Your Servant, because I know that it's a heart song for this congregation. And so I know that it's a very meaningful song for many of you, and it fits so well with what we are talking about this morning, finding rest, burdens and rest. And as I prepared for this morning's sermon, I spent a lot of time thinking about those two words, burden and rest. When Jesus spoke the words, "Come to me, all who are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest," he was teaching and preaching in the towns of Galilee, speaking to people who were under the rule of Rome, Jews who were already seeking to do God's commandments and live them out, but also having to bear the extra burdens placed upon them by the Pharisees. To these listeners, Jesus gives the invitation, "Come to me and I will give you rest." And then he speaks these paradoxical words, "Take my yoke upon you." So here are people already heavily burdened by Rome and by the law of the Pharisees, and Jesus seems to be adding another additional burden to them. But the beauty of it is that Jesus' yoke is not heavy, but light. When we accept Jesus' invitation to follow him and to learn from him, to live our lives according to his teaching and example, to accept the salvation he offers, we have the opportunity for full and complete rest. Rest for body, for mind, and spirit. Jesus' yoke and his teaching is offered gently, with humility, and therefore it is life-giving. One of the things I appreciate most about living out my faith in the Anabaptist perspective is the understanding that my salvation, my faith, is lived out in the context of community. God gave us a great gift when he chose to give us his son Jesus. He also gave us a great gift when he gave us each other. It might not always feel that way. But as the saying goes, you can choose your friends, but you're stuck with your relatives. Sorry. But all kidding aside, I have experienced the gift of community of believers many times over in my lifetime, and most keenly when I have lived through some very difficult times. It is then that my faith community has lived out the call of Christ and has helped me to bear my burdens. I realize that for many of us right here in this congregation, the word burden is a familiar one. Some of us are carrying heavy burdens. The burden of grief of a lost loved one. The burden of being or caring for loved ones who are ill. The burden of living with or caring for someone who lives with mental illness. The burden of unemployment, the burden of advocacy, being the voice for those who do not have a voice or whose voices are not recognized or understood. These burdens are heavy, and if we are experiencing these directly in our own lives, if we aren't experiencing directly in our own lives, many of us experience them as we try to live out the words of Galatians 6, verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." I have seen how people in this congregation have tried to ease the burdens of others by praying, bringing meals, donating money, sharing resources, writing letters, or simply being present. It's a gift to receive this support. It's also a gift to give it. And I'm grateful to be part of such a caring and supportive congregation. I also get to experience this gift at work. I work for Communitas Supportive Care Society, and the name itself tells you a little bit about the kind of agency this is. It's one that offers support to the community of people who live with developmental disabilities and mental health challenges. At Communitas, as we walk alongside the people that we serve, we are helping to bear one another's burdens, burdens borne by these communities, and we seek to help them live rich and abundant lives. And the lovely and sometimes surprising benefit of that is that we are enriched as we do this work. One of the programs run by Communitas is Matthew's House. And it is the program that our congregation has chosen to support with its Don't Spend a Dime project this year. Matthew's House is a home away from home. that provides quality respite care for children who live with complex care issues. This is sometimes confused with hospice care, which is end-of-life care, the kind of care offered by Canuck Place for children or by Holmberg House here in Abbotsford for adults. Respite care means that we offer temporary care for children so that their parents can get the rest that they deserve. Matthew's House is located here in Abbotsford, but it's actually available to parents with children from across British Columbia. What makes Matthew's House somewhat unique is that it was built to care specifically for children with complex care needs. These are children with needs beyond what a typical person or a typical babysitter would be able to provide. For many of the families whose children come to visit us, Matthew's House is one of the only places, aside from their own home, where parents feel that they can safely leave their children. That's because Matthew's House was purpose-built and fully equipped to care for these children, and staff there who give the care are specifically trained to do this work. In my role as the communications manager for Communitas, I get to hear and to share the stories of the people that we serve. Matthew's House is one of my favorite programs to do this in. These are stories of burdens borne and shared and of rest found, and I want to share a couple of these stories with you this morning. Before I do that, I do need to say this. None of the parents that I have interviewed at Matthew's House have ever referred to their children as a burden. Not one. Yes, the challenges that come with caring for a child with complex care needs can be burdensome. And sometimes caring for these children comes at great cost to their parents. I've met a parent who's been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. I have met another who has been diagnosed with depression. For some families, the financial burden of caring for a child with complex care is overwhelming. All of them live with some degree of guilt. Is my child this way because of something I did? Are the demands of caring for this child affecting my other children? All of them have to walk through a journey of loss. Lost expectations and dreams for what they thought their life as a family would be. But despite all of this, and perhaps because of it, these parents love their children deeply. Whenever I do an interview, I always ask this question: what are the gifts that your child brings to your family? These parents appreciate this question so much, first of all, because no one ever asks it. And secondly, because it gives them an opportunity to publicly tell others that their children bring them great joy, teach them to appreciate the little things in life, teach them the value of slowing down and letting go. This is Kerrigan. She is 7 years old, and she lives with some very unique challenges. Kerrigan is nonverbal, which means she cannot communicate by speaking words. Kerrigan sees in two dimensions instead of three dimensions, which means she has no depth perception. It makes it very difficult for her to navigate places with stairs or ramps. Even the slightest difference in surface, like floor to carpet, make look completely flat to her. So until she's used to a place, she sometimes trips and falls. But perhaps her most difficult challenge is that Kerrigan does not sleep. Her brain is constantly engaged, constantly, making it almost impossible for her or her parents to get any rest. Her doctors are not sure what causes this and have tried several different medications, but so far, nothing seems to have worked. In the last year, Kerrigan's family moved to a new community, which means she had to learn to navigate a new home and a new school with new teachers, new teaching assistants, new friends. Kerrigan already has an older sister who loves her to bits, and this summer they welcomed a new baby brother into the family. So think about that from the parent's perspective. You've moved your family with all of the challenges that that comes with. You're helping your children to navigate a new school, and you have a newborn baby experiencing all of these things with very little sleep. Doesn't that feel like a burden? Kerrigan's mom, Tina, says she's always amazed at the strength that her daughter has. She says Kerrigan adapts quickly, and she seems to do quite well with the burdens that she's been given. This lovely guy is Carter. Doesn't he just have the best smile? He also has a giggle to match it. His parents, Charlene and Curtis, say that Carter has been a gift to their family and their community of friends. He has taught us to love deeply, to have a level of compassion and patience that we would not have learned otherwise, his mom, Charlene, says. Carter's ability to draw these qualities out of those who love him, his mom says, is in part due to the disabilities with which he lives. At just 3 months of age, Carter started to have uncontrollable seizures. Exhaustive testing revealed an abnormality in the right frontal lobe of his brain. At 10 months of age, he underwent neurosurgery to hope that the surgery could do what medications could not. Although it helped for a time, Carter had to undergo a second surgery at the age of 4 to remove the entire right frontal lobe. This has made some improvement with his seizure disorder, but he still experiences multiple seizures every week. Carter is developmentally delayed, and as you can see, he also needs a wheelchair to get around. Now, I chose this picture of Carter because some of you might recognize the young woman who is with him. That's Megan. Okay, I know her as Megan Wee, but she got married.
Schultz.
Aha, she was married recently, so now she's Megan Schultz. Megan used to attend this congregation, and so she is now working at Matthew's house. And this is a picture of her with Carter. Because of their extraordinary needs, Kerrigan and Carter's parents can't just call on their grandparents or friends to babysit so that they could get a break. Charlene explains that while they have a very supportive family and extremely supportive friends, Carter's care needs are beyond what anyone in their inner circle can do long term. So Matthew's house has made an enormous difference to them. They began with short stays so that they could all get used to being apart for a time. But once Charlene and Curtis saw how much Carter loved his time there and how well he was being cared for, they decided with confidence to do something that they had not done for nearly a decade. They took a 5-day trip together as a couple. Kerrigan's family has had the same experience. This past summer, when their baby was just 2 weeks old, an opening came up in the calendar at Matthew's house, and the manager gave Tina a call. Kerrigan was able to stay for 3 days, and Tina said it was a godsend. While Kerrigan was enjoying one-on-one attention from a qualified and caring, loving caregiver, the rest of the family brainstormed about the things that they would do that they could not normally do. First, they all had a long nap. Then they decided to go on a hike. They spent the day at Lindeman Lake, taking in the scenery, enjoying the trails, and unwinding. Tina says, "One of the hardest things for her is not feeling guilty about doing something without one of your children. But the fact that Kerrigan enjoys Matthew's house so much really helps, and knowing that she is being engaged and safely cared for makes all the difference in the world." While Matthew's house provides rest for families, it does come at a cost. It costs nearly $1 million to operate Matthew's house every year. This cost is met through a partnership with government and private donors. Parents pay a small fee, often covered by the respite dollars that they receive from the Ministry for Children and Family Development. And if they're unable to pay that, we work with families to find resources so that no child is turned away for this reason. The majority of Matthew's House revenue comes from events and from generous donors and from individuals and community initiatives, just like the Don't Spend a Dime project that we are doing this morning. Parents are fully aware of this. And this is the reason why so many of them are willing to share their story with us. They want people like you to know how much they need this resource, how much it relieves their burden, how much it provides them with rest and peace of mind, and how thankful they are that you are helping to carry this burden. I began this morning by talking about the words burden and rest. I very purposefully put together the words of Jesus and Paul because to me, they go together so perfectly. Jesus says, Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What is it that we are to learn from Jesus? Well, he himself put it in a nutshell. When he was challenged by the Pharisees who asked him which was the greatest commandment, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second command is this, love your neighbor as yourself." When Paul encouraged the Galatians to bear one another's burdens, he said that by doing so, we would fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ that Paul's refers to here is all of Christ's teaching, both in the sense that if we bear one another's burdens, we are fulfilling the law of Christ, and also that if we fulfill the law of Christ and live out his teaching, we will bear one another's burdens. Jesus says, "Learn from me, accept my invitation, follow my teaching, live as I have lived," and that is love God, love neighbor. Love God, love your community. When we as a congregation journey with each other through good times and hard times, when we give of our time and talents to support those who are in need, when we pray for each other and for those we have never met, but whose burdens we see, when we bear those burdens, then we are learning from Jesus and living out the great commandments to love God and love our neighbors. If Kerrigan's parents and Carter's parents were here this morning, they would say thank you with tears in their eyes. And so I will say it on behalf of them. Thank you. Thank you for being a faithful and generous community and for sharing the love of Jesus. Amen.